Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, sports fans? We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino and the Game Bar and Grill as we do our sports broadcast until 7 p.m. when Thursday Night Football takes over. 6:30 over on 870 a.m. will begin pregame coverage of the Pelicans taking on the Houston Rockets, a 7 o'clock tip-off on 870 a.m. The Pelicans putting out there, too, just moments ago, that Jurante Green with right knee soreness and Trey Murphy due to a left ankle sprain are available for tonight's game against the Rockets.
Well, that's
so
good news.
Any kind of firepower is needed.
They need all they can get against the Rockets.
We are going to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line right now, where we got Hondo Carpenter on the line, who covers the Las Vegas Raiders for Sports Illustrated. Always appreciate your time, Hondo. Hope you had a great Christmas. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, but I don't know what happened, but I'm looking forward to being down in New Orleans this weekend with my family and enjoying some Louisiana weather.
Appreciate you,
man. Listen, it's sort of hot and cool here, Hondo, but I told Steve, hey, Raiders week, we got to get Hondo on. You're one of our top guests, man. We'd love to have you on because you tell it like it is, and we enjoy that about you. One of the things in watching the Raiders this year, and you can see there's areas where they need talent, but they play hard for Antonio Pierce. And I give them credit because when you get one loss after another, a lot of times that destroys the psyche of a team. But the one thing I'll give Las Vegas, man, they play hard for Pierce. And you can see that they don't have all the pieces in place, certainly, and you don't have the star quarterback. But, man, when you give all you got, you're going to win a few games in this league.
Well, I can tell you a couple of things. First of all, they're down 15 starters that are out. And think about that, gentlemen. Show me a team in the NFL that would lose 15 starters that didn't have a franchise quarterback that would, you know, be much better than 3-12, number one. Second of all, I would tell you, and I think this is a big one, is they absolutely love Antonio Pierce. They believe in him. They fight for him. They scrap for him. You know, the Raiders right now are playing 14 guys in their first or second year. That bodes extremely well for the future of this franchise. There is a lot of positives on this team, a lot of really good talent on this team, just not having a franchise quarterback. I mean, think about this one. Christian Wilkins, which you can make an argument as either 1A or 1B, best defensive tackle in the league, out for the season. Malcolm Kuntz, a rising superstar, never got to play it down this year when he was absolutely tremendous last year. Max Crosby hurt the entire year. He's out. Then you can go through and you just keep adding injury. Marcus Epps, who is the quarterback of the defense, out for the entire year. You can literally, Ja'Corian Bennett, out for the entire year. Nate Hobbs has been out. The other starting corner, I mean, you could just go through and you just keep naming them and naming them and naming them. And all of a sudden it begins to hit you. This is a team with a lot of talent that fights, it scraps. They're going to be better because so many of their rookies are playing next year. But the reality is they're not a good football team right now. But they're a team that's absolutely fought twice. They played the Chiefs and should have beat them, one of them. The other one, they were right in it to the end. They should not have beaten them, but it was a absolute atrocious call, which everybody in the league has seen multiple times for the Chiefs this year. This is a team that's coming down to Louisiana, and they're not looking for a vacation. They want to smack somebody in the face. They're angry. They're mad. They play that way. They play incredibly tough, very, very physical. They are not even close to the most talented team that the Saints have played, but they're going to make the Saints play them for four quarters. And if the Saints don't, they're going to lose. And that's the mentality of this team. They're not good, and I'm not pretending it, but I've seen a lot of teams that weren't good win games when they just fight, scratch, and claw. I told someone this. They are the Rocky Balboa of the NFL, except not winning at that level, because they're going to make them go the entire fight. And it's going to be every play, every down, and rookies are going to make rookie mistakes. Young players are going to make young player mistakes. But they love Antonio Pierce. He's not lost this locker room. It's not even close. And anyone that steps back and looks objectively, think about this, gentlemen. Take away 15 starters from the Saints, what would their record be? Now, I know you guys are injured. I'm not saying you're not, but imagine if it was 15, and that's where the Raiders are right now. But they're coming in there fighting, scratching, clawing, and they're excited to be there.
Hondo, I got a guy sent me a text, and this was over the weekend, and he said, I don't know if you remember me or not, but right before the draft, I asked you, give me two guys that you would put all your money on that will make it in the NFL out of this draft class. And I do remember him asking me that. I said, Jaden Daniels from LSU, Brock Bowers from Georgia. Brock, it was such a good football player on a team that wasn't noted really for throwing the football a lot. But their passing game was really sort of built over the last 2 years at Georgia to get the football to Brock, because he was an unbelievable talent catching the football. And you see in year one, you know, that now he has more catches than any other rookie tight end in the history of the National Football League. And he surpassed Sam LaPorta, who had that basically honor a year ago with the Lions. Brock has just been a great guy, but in getting to know him a little bit, he is so humble. He's a guy that doesn't want any spotlight thrown on him at all. He would rather you go talk to anybody else but him. But he is really a superstar player in the National Football League in year one.
I can tell you this. I've done this for 30 years, and there is a term that NFL teams use called dude. And a dude is a guy that when they're coming out in the draft that they say, this is a can't miss. Now, I've only seen one draft where the consensus in the NFL was that there were no dudes, and I've seen as high as 8 1 year. But last year, there were three guys considered dudes: Joe Alt, Brock Bowers, and Talise Fuaga. There were other guys that people thought, man, they're pretty good, and they could be really good superstars, but this has to happen or that has to happen. So, for example, with Jaden, you know, he's small. And so he had to change his aggressive style running to stay in the pocket a little bit better. And to his credit, he's made that adjustment. Everyone thought, man, he could be super special, but that's hard for some guys to do. But there were three dudes. And so when the Raiders got to their pick, they in all of their, and this is literally what I was told, in thousands of mock drafts, because they mock everything, because they want to know who they're going to pick the moment, no matter how it happens. They never had one where Brock Bowers got to them. There was never one. And so when people, they had multiple teams, including the Rams, trying to get up to get Bowers, and people said, well, you know, but the trade chart said they should have made it. No, because they saw Brock Bowers as a number one overall pick. And so if you want that pick from them, you were going to have to trade with them as if it was a number one, and no one was willing to go that high because they believed he was. that's where Tom Telesco and the previous GM, Dave Ziegler, who's, you know, worked with you guys this year, who did a tremendous job with the Raiders. This is where, you know, their approach of taking the best player available, staying put, waiting. You know, they weren't going to get Jaden to come there, even though Jaden had been in the locker room, wanted to be a Raider. Because of his relationship with Antonio Pierce, it wasn't going to happen. So they didn't panic. They didn't go overpick a guy. And all of a sudden, you know, they get a Brock Bowers. So this team is better. Think about this one. One of the best wide receivers in PFF has him as the highest catch percentage in the NFL is Jacoby Myers. And I've been reporting all offseason, Jacoby was the best offensive player in this team, and that was when Devontae was here. Then you add Brock Bowers. Then you come through with an offensive line with two rookies that are playing unbelievable in Delmar DJ Glaze and Jackson Powers Johnson, and then Jordan Meredith, who probably isn't going to play on Sunday, who's a sophomore player who's played extremely well. Then you got Michael Mayer, last year's number one tight end, to go with Brock Bowers. There's a ton of talent on this team. Zamir White last year, when Antonio Pierce took over, was the number one running back in the NFL, and he's out for the year. So there is a lot of talent here. They are a quarterback away from being an absolutely competitive team to compete to get in the playoffs, not to win a championship. They're not in need of a rebuild. They do, however, have to reload at some certain positions. But you're absolutely right. Brock Bowers is a kid. Let me tell you about this kid's character. He lives in Vegas. His girlfriend is in Tennessee. And he lives basically at the facility. He's always there. He watches film like a vet. I was talking to him in the locker room the other day about the rookie wall. And there's a lot of rookies playing for the Raiders, and they're all talking about the rookie wall. And I asked him, you know, have you hit it? And he goes, no, I haven't hit it. You know, he comes from Georgia where they're used to playing a lot more than 12 games. And the kid keeps himself in superior shape. He's never out in the town, literally never out in the town. He is at the facility or at his house. And he's all football. This is a kid, take away his football talent. This is the kid every dad wants their daughter to marry. Hardworking, blue collar, just absolutely loves the game. His teammates adore him. They don't like Brock. They love him. He's got the respect. He came in from day one acting like a vet. I'll tell you a great story. When I knew he was going to be special, I was asked the other day, when did you know? And I'll tell you a funny story. So right after the draft last year, in my prediction article, I predicted that this is the draft in 23. I predicted they were going to take Brock. I knew the Raiders loved him. I predicted it a year in advance. Obviously, there was a lot of changes, it made me look smarter than I am. But he was in rookie mini camp. His first mini camp. And he leans over to the one of the veterans and is moving them and putting them in the right spot. And it was a veteran wide receiver. So here he is as a rook who knew the playbook so well, he's moving guys around. He's a guy that's walking off the field, and if he sees a piece of tape that somebody threw on the field, he picks it up and puts it in the trash can. I've met his parents once, tremendous people. They raised a great kid who happens to be a great football player. And he is everything that's advertised, and he's on the fast track trajectory for a gold jacket.
No question about it. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've asked this before to other people. Now with Tom Brady coming in as sort of the minority owner, how much impact will he have in the future here with the Raiders? I know one thing, when Al was running the show, he didn't take no advice from anybody. Al was going to do it his way, and that was going to be it. The differences between Mark, the son, and Al, and how much impact will Brady have? I would think he's probably going to be in the air about the next quarterback there, but how much influence you think Tom Brady will have on this organization moving forward?
Well, I broke the story a year ago when a source inside the building told me that he was going to have a massive voice. And then at the owners meeting in Las Colinas, Texas, at the Ritz-Carlton a couple weeks ago, Mark Davis confirmed that by calling it a huge voice in the organization. I believe, now what I'm about to give is opinion, I'm not reporting as factual. I believe Tom Brady will probably go 5 seasons with Fox and then probably move to Vegas and run the Raiders. He's going to have a massive voice. He's going to have a huge voice. I don't expect them to be there to run day-to-day operations again until probably after 5 years with Fox. That's just my guess, my opinion, feeling, and reading some tea leaves. But he's going to have a very big voice. But remember this, the only voice he's going to have is what Mark Davis allows him to have. Mark respects him. And I'm going to say something to you, and I want to make it very clear, because I have a lot of respect for Al Davis. And Al did a ton of things right. But Al Davis wasn't 5% of the businessman that his son is. It's not even close. Al was not a good businessman, in my opinion. Mark Davis is a savant. But Al Davis didn't do what, in my opinion, fathers are supposed to do. He didn't groom Mark on how to run the franchise. And so Mark was not the best owner in the NFL when he first took over. And I'm not saying anything that I don't think Mark's not heard me say before. But one thing that man has done, and I give him a world of credit, is he has emerged from trying to learn literally by drinking out of a fire hose. And he has learned and he's adapted and he is incredibly honest. He's one of the most genuine human beings you'll ever meet. He will tell you where he messes up. He'll tell you, I don't know this. I don't know that. I don't know how many billionaires you've talked to. I've had the privilege of talking to several in my life. He is the most humble billionaire you've ever met. You would never know he was a billionaire. You would never know it. And he's a guy that flies on Southwest Airlines. He's a guy that, you know, he doesn't wear the Rolexes. He's always dressed in Raider gear. He just looks like a Raider fan. He hangs out with the Raiders, the fans. He's one of the people. He loves them. He's not embarrassed of them. He appreciates them. And I have never had a dealing with him that's been anything less than completely genuine. And so he comes in and he understands what he doesn't know. And he's tried to put football people in there. He's paying tens of millions of dollars to guys that didn't work out, that he fired. And so he's willing to spend any amount of money. It is by far the best practice facility in the NFL. And I've been to all of them. It's the nicest stadium, and it's not even close. And you ask people in the national media, and they'll tell you Allegiant's unbelievable. And so he has built everything for a winner. They're flushed in cash. They can pay anybody anything that they want. They can structure the deal anyway. And he's now looking for that final piece. And he finds a guy in Tom Brady who's a complete winner. Now, we don't know. Is he going to be Michael Jordan? He might be, but we don't know. Or is he going to end up being the greatest player who becomes an owner and winner in history? Looking at Tom Brady's track record, I think that you would absolutely have to say the chances are better that he becomes the best owner of any former player, because what has he done and failed at? And so, again, he is absolutely willing to listen. He's going to give Tom Brady a voice. But I'm also going to tell you this. Giving Tom Brady a voice doesn't mean he now becomes a slappy for Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to have to convince him why it's a good idea. Now, Tom Brady's going to have a lot easier time doing that than I would, because Tom Brady's resume is a heck of a lot better than mine in football, and he should have an easier time. But he's still going to have to convince Mark Davis. And this is a guy that'll spend any amount of money. You will never again hear the Raiders making a decision based on money. He is wallowing in it, and he just wants to win. It's the only thing in his life. It is the central focus of his life, which is to win. And I think that's admirable. Who doesn't want an owner like that?
Hondo, appreciate you sharing all that Raiders knowledge with us. Hopefully we see you in the Dome on Sunday. Have a good one, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Hondo.
I'll be there. Come say hi to me in the press box, guys.
We'll do it.
Hondo Carpenter covering the Las Vegas Raiders for Sports Illustrated. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll talk to our sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, also WWL's digital content producer, about today's practice and who we can expect to be playing Sunday against the Silver and Black. Taking a break right here at the Treasure Chest Casino, doing Sports Talk till 7. Come join us. We'll be hanging out. Come right back after this on WWL, so stay tuned. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We're going to continue breaking down the matchup Sunday, Week 17. The Saints hosting the Raiders. Welcoming in now WWL sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, also digital content producer. Jeff, how you doing today? How was your Christmas in Green Bay?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It's warmer. You know, I've been walking around in a T-shirt all day, being like, man, why is it so warm? And I'm like, it's because I'm programmed for 25 degrees. So now I have this. That's like the trick to feeling like Louisiana is warmer than it is, to go up to Green Bay for a week and then come back here. You will never feel warmer.
Jeff, you there, was it as dominating a performance, are you looking at it, as what we saw on television? Because it looked to me, no matter what the Packers did, it was going to work for them. Everything worked. They were a dominant football team in the trenches. You certainly saw the big advantage they have at quarterback, Josh Jacobs, everything as advertised. But to me, what jumped out is how good their defense has come along throughout the year. They had some pieces. They were moving around. And to have a guy, I scouted him in high school, Edgen Cooper in Covington. He's not even started. And look the numbers this guy's put up. And he's twice been the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. That looks to me to be a football team. If they can stay healthy, they got a legitimate shot to be in New Orleans on Super Bowl Sunday.
It's a very good football team. I do think that the Saints offense did them a solid by just being completely inept. And by that, I mean, like, every time it felt like the Saints were doing something well, they, you know, turned it over. They fumbled. They threw an interception. They just dropped passes. I think Jordan Mims had a couple drops. It was like, what are you doing? Kevin Austin had a drop at one point on a ball that he should have had. So, I mean, I think the defense played really well, and it's a good defense. But, you know, the Saints did them, you know, that shouldn't have been a shutout. The Saints should have been able to put up some points, should have been able to keep it more competitive. And they just weren't able to. I was actually more impressed with the offense, if I'm being honest, because the way they play really is going to translate well to a playoff environment. If they end up in a cold weather game and you can just lean on some people with Josh Jacobs, because the way they extend drives and are able to just dominate the time of possession. I mean, the Saints offense, they were barely on the field in the first half. And that the drive that when it happened, I was like, all right, we might as well just pack up and go home now, was their second possession. They got it at their own 6-yard line. They proceeded to go 94 yards in 17 plays and never really felt like they were in danger of giving up possession. You know, and that's a really impressive team. And, you know, the Saints just played one of their worst games of the year on both sides of the ball. You know, Darren Rizzi will say, hey, we looked at it. We didn't see anyone playing with a lack of effort. And I agree to some extent, but I feel like that was an example of a game where you lost it before you ever stepped foot on the field. I just don't feel like they were ready. I don't feel like they felt like they were going to go win that game once it started. So it was ugly for the Saints. I think they made the Packers look like the best team in the NFL. And that's my biggest issue, is they're not the best team in the NFL. This is a wild card team that is very good, but you should be a lot closer to that team than you were on Monday. And that's the most disappointing thing to me from that performance for the Saints, is it kind of just showed just how far away you are from the level of that the Packers are right now. And that's not a good look for the Saints.
To think about the NFC North, and Steve and I, Bob and I have talked about it too, to have three teams that may end up with 12 games or more wins.
Yeah.
In one spot. And, you know, the Bears, I think a lot of people maybe thought in the offseason they could be in the mix too, but that didn't turn out too good. But to see how well Minnesota has played, the Lions have played well, but, boy, you worry now with all those injuries just mounting up one after the other, that it kind of cracks that door. And listen, I'm right next to Geller. And you know, I know he loves the Eagles. But, man, do you trust Sirianni in a big game?
Oh, absolutely,
man,
not.
He's like a loose cannon out there. I've heard LaFleur talk about the type of offense he wants. And he is about running the ball and then playing off of that play-action stuff. And I think now he's found the guy to take over that offense of being the bell cow and that being Josh Jacobs. Nothing against Aaron Jones. I think he's a good football player. I think Josh Jacobs is one of the elite running backs in this league.
And and the thing with Josh is he's not a one-trick pony, right? Like, you put him on the field, you can do anything. And I think that was the issue with the deployment, the platoon of Aaron Jones and I'm blanking on the other guy's name, J.J. Dillon. You just had two guys who you kind of knew what their game was when they got on the field. Like, okay, this is their pound the rock guy. This is their, okay, you know, throw the ball, do that kind of two-minute drill stuff. And with Josh, you kind of just, I don't know what they're going to do, right? They can throw him out of the backfield. He can make guys miss in space. He can just bash you over the head. So that's a good team. And, you know, I'm disappointed that the Lions haven't gotten to this point with the roster that they should have right now, because that was as dominant of a team throughout the season as I've seen in a long time. Now they're kind of, hey, let's see if we can outscore you. You know, you're putting up 40 points and losing in a game. You know, that's not something you want to see. That's a fun division. It's a much more fun division to watch than the NFC South. That's a great fan base. I was really impressed with the fan base throughout the game. You know, no one left. It's a 25-degree game. They're up by 30. It was a packed house with 5 minutes to go. I know Matt LaFleur would prefer if they didn't do the wave while the Packers were on offense. That's another discussion to have for another day. But no, that team is in really good shape. I was really impressed with Jordan Love. It's easy to forget this is his second year as a starter. Obviously, he's an older guy. He's been around a lot longer than that. But he just makes good decisions. Like, that was the biggest difference when you look at what he's doing versus what Spencer Rattler was doing, is every time the Saints kind of won a play, right, every time they blew up what the Packers were trying to do, he either made something happen, escaped pressure, or just got the ball out, killed the play. You know, the Saints weren't able to get them behind the sticks because he's playing like a seasoned veteran, even though he's only in year two. And it's really impressive.
One of the things, too, Jeff, is if the Saints don't get a running game going against the Raiders, and they're not a very good team. And again, we had Hondo Carpenter on talking about all the injuries, 17 starters that they've lost throughout the year. But you can't be one-dimensional in this league. You can't. And their inability to run the football. If they can't run the ball against the Raiders, you might see another big win by Las Vegas here. Because of the fact you become one-dimensional, you throw everything on the back of the young quarterback. And then now he feels he's got to make a play. Every time he's got the ball in his hands, it's not going to work that way. I think it's imperative. If they're going to win this game, they've got to be able to run the football. And now you're going to be without McCoy. You're going to be without Lucas Patrick. You got Lemieux, who's kind of a neophyte as far as the center position's concerned. He's played guard basically his entire career. And we'll go with Landon Young at the left guard position. Man, it puts it in a bad spot here. But I think if you go back to it, that lack of a running game really, really shows up. And it is showing up big today.
Yeah, no question. The only positive I can say is the Saints have had to go to a backup center so much this year that Shane Lemieux actually has some pretty good experience at this point. I think this would be his third start, maybe fourth, but that's a big issue. And the problem is, like, when you're behind the way the Saints were and you're not sustaining any offense, they really had no choice. They had to throw the ball. That's why you saw Jordan Mims in there a majority of the second half, because they were in the 2-minute offense basically the entire second half. And I think that was the plan you went into that game with, was Kendrick Mills is going to take the early down work. Jordan Mims is going to be kind of your third down back, and Jamal Williams is going to slot in there where it makes sense. And you just were never able to get to that kind of early down offensive package. And I know it was a little frustrating for Kendrick to be on the field a little bit more, but it just didn't work out that way. And I would have liked to see a little better of a performance from Jordan. I know he had like 5 catches, I think, in that game, but it should have been more. He had a couple opportunities he just put on the ground. No, he was probably disappointed with that effort because it was his first extended run in a Saints uniform, really. So, no, I think you'll be able to keep this game a lot closer. I don't think there'll be nearly as many points put up, at least on the opposing side. The Raiders are coming off a win. They did beat the Jaguars last week. It was a low-scoring game. So I don't think this will be the type of game where you get out of your offense nearly as quickly as you did last week in Green Bay. But now, if it is Spencer Rattler out there, like, we don't know for sure yet. They're still holding out hope. Darren Rizzi said today, like, if Derek can get out there either Friday or Saturday to kind of game out how it would look with that fractured left hand, whether can you take a snap under center? Do you have to be in the shotgun? You know, how is that going to look? there's still a chance he gets out there. And obviously there's a lot of motivation for Derek to get out there against his former team. If it's going to happen yet, but I would bet money on Spencer starting. Like if I had to put odds on it, I would lean towards Spencer, because it's just hard to imagine, you know, putting Derek out there in the condition that he's in without a practice in 2 weeks. But yeah, I think, you know, Kendre Miller would be Spencer Rattler's best friend. I thought as they started to establish some more offense in the second half, that's really what it was, is you were able to escape pressure, get ahead of the chains. And, you know, there was even one play that he just kind of flipped it out to Kendre Miller and he got close to a first down. Like, I think that needs to be Spencer's game plan. It's like, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, check down. Right. And, you know, when you don't get sacked 17 times in four starts by accident, that's not the offensive line. That's the quarterback. Especially when you look at the same offensive line Derek Carr was playing with. He started 10 games, got sacked 8 times. So it's got to be on Spencer to avoid those negative plays. And it's just what he wasn't able to do in that game.
Jeff, thanks for stopping by, man. Talk to you soon on the Inside Black and Gold podcast.
Thank you, Jeff.
That was Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter. We'll take a break and wrap things up when we get back right after this on WWL. Listening to Sports Talk on the Odyssey app or 105.3 FM. Looking for the Pelicans game. Tune in to 870 AM. Pre-game coverage going on there leading up to that 7 o'clock tip-off. Meanwhile, after the break, we're going to wrap things up here on Sports Talk and then head into Thursday Night Football between the Bears, who are taking on... who tonight? Seattle Seahawks. Thank you. Taking a break. We'll be right back after this on WWL. As we close up shop here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino, I want to thank all the staff here for all their kindness and help throughout the show. Mike, looking at some of the numbers from the NFL Netflix viewing on Christmas Day. Whoa, baby. 24.1 million for Chiefs Steelers and 24.3 million for Ravens Texans. Meanwhile, the highest rated NBA game, 7.7 million Lakers Warriors.
I guess LeBron didn't see the numbers.
No, he didn't get wind of that.
The one thing, you know, man, you got to give the NFL, man, they a slot machine that keeps every time you hit it, dude, they pay off. And it's unbelievable. And I think what's eventually going to happen with Netflix is they're going to associate themselves with the gambling industry, and they will be the major sponsors on Netflix, and that's going to be a continuous deal with Netflix and the NFL.
I can hear the casino right now.
That's all you hear in the background. The NFL is making money. Unbelievable. That's why you got a lot of people wanting to be owners in the NFL. Even if they billionaires have made it somewhere else, they want to make it in this business.
For co-host Mike Dettillier, engineer Luke Augusta, and our studio engineer Charlie Long, thank you for joining us here on Sports Talk. We'll be back tomorrow with more Fans in the Pro. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, coming up next here on 105.3. It'll be Thursday Night Football. Hoot out, everybody. See you later.